Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jones, Bowden. He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins.
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. It's been pouring with rain in the UK today. But in the cricket world, it's been pouring runs. In fact, we've worked out that you could have watched cricket almost for 24 hours and seen a lot of runs. You could have seen England get 244 for 3 in the first day's play in Barbados. You could have seen Pakistan make an astonishing 443 for 7, batting 171 overs to draw that second test match in Karachi. You could possibly, if you knew where to find it, watch Jharkhand playing Nagaland in the Ranji Trophy and taking an astonishing lead of 1,008, which is the record lead in a first-class match. And the match eventually finished in a draw with Jharkhand having a total of made a total of 1,297 runs in the match. God knows why they batted on, but having scored 880 in the first innings, but they did. That's Indian cricket for you. And also, there was a tremendous win by England women, their first win of the World Cup against India in New Zealand at Mount Maunganui, that ground you know really well, Simon. That actually wasn't a big scoring match. They bowled India out for 134 and knocked them off. But otherwise, it's not been a bowler's day, has it?
Much needed win for England's women. Absolutely critical, wasn't it? It was getting to that stage where, yeah, they just had to win, and they did so quite comfortably. It was by four wickets, but they restricted India and then won relatively comfortably. As for that match in India, I think it was about first innings points, wasn't it? That was, so they just had not to lose. Once they got the first innings lead, they just batted on because they were already ahead on first innings. That's all they needed to get through to the next round. Not great cricket, that. But, I mean, amazing day, really, in Karachi for Pakistan and for Babar Azam and for Mohammad Rizwan as well. Two fabulous innings, really top-class innings. And Pakistan to bat out, what, nearly 2 days to save that game, albeit on a flat pitch. And, you know, it's another theme, isn't it, yours, about flat pitches? You know, another one in Barbados. You know, you're glad you're retired. Those knees of yours feeling dodgy after bowling on flat pitches. It's not great for the game of cricket, but I suppose the unique circumstances of the test match in Karachi allowed it to still have that drama, despite the fact it was flat, i.e. Australia got 500 and odd in over 2 days, and the fact they rolled Pakistan out and then didn't enforce the follow-on. So they gave themselves pretty much 2 days to bowl Pakistan out. I mean, there were people talking about Pakistan trying to win the game. I never thought that was viable. I thought if Pakistan tried to win the game, they'll lose it. So why would you why would you? It was one of those, I just didn't think it was feasible. So you would never risk, I think when you've done that much hard work, you would never risk going for the win, because it was just, it was too much out of reach. And they would have lost, they would definitely lost the game if they tried to win it, I think.
Yeah, I needed 120 from about 22 overs at the end. But the pitch was doing a little bit.
Yeah.
And obviously they'd lost four wickets by that stage. They hadn't got a lot of batting in reserve. And it sounds easy, you know, in the days of, in the era of T20, when 120, you can knock that off in 12 overs in T20 cricket. You don't do that in Test cricket because of the changes in field settings. You're allowed to put, you know, everyone on the boundary if you want to. And the fact the ball was doing a fair bit for the spinner and the seamers. So, oh yeah, I mean, it was absolutely riveting watch. And I just love the passion of the players, the fans who came out to watch, and actually the skill levels as well. You know, those were two top teams going at each other full throttle for the whole day in hot conditions, and Cummins still generating decent pace at the end. Nathan Lyon, 50-odd overs, spinning it. Marnus Labuschagne bowled a ball, vicious ball, spun out the rough and nearly took keeper's head off at the end. I mean, it was fantastic watching. And the skill of those two batsmen in particular, Babar Assam and also Mohammad Rizwan, and actually Abdullah Shafiq as well, the 22-year-old who made 96 on the fourth day. All fabulous technique. And it's, even though it was defensive, it was defensive and fluent at the same time. They played shots when they could, and they tried to rotate the strike. And it was a supremely watchable performance, even though the bowlers couldn't get through.
Yeah, brilliant test match in a way. You know, a draw, and it felt like a draw actually for quite a long time on the final day. I couldn't really see Australia taking the wickets they needed to win the game. But despite that, yeah, it was compelling. And of course, they nipped him with two or three wickets towards the close. You thought, oh, it might well be on. Of course, Rizwan was dropped as well, wasn't he? I mean, that might, you know, with about three overs left. And Khawaja, who's been a hero for Australia with the bat recently, if he'd taken the catch low down at extra cover, then, you know, just possibly Australia might have won the game. They had three overs to take two wickets. You've got to love Rizwan, though. It's something about his cricket, isn't it? He's a beguiling player. And Babar Azam is, you know, high class. I mean, it was a magnificent innings. He deserved a double hundred, really. But, you know, he wasn't able to get it. He was out four runs short of that double hundred. But he took Pakistan close enough to draw in the game. And, you know, if you'd said to Pakistan and their supporters, you know, with, I don't know, 2.5 days to go or whatever, that they were going to draw the game, I mean, they would barely have believed it, I think. I mean, they were 400 runs behind on first innings. I mean, I suppose you could say, were Australia right not to enforce the follow-on? I mean, they generally don't. It would have made it, you know, it would have sort of extended Pakistan's marathon block, if you like, and really tested them. Australia might have had a run chase potentially under pressure if they'd been able to bowl them out. Of course, the other thing as well, Australia would have been in the field for 3 days, the best part of 3 days, and they just don't like doing that these days. They like to give the bowlers a bit of a rest and then come back and have another go. You know, and actually, when you think about it, if you'd expect to bowl a side out in 170-odd overs, wouldn't you, in the best part of 2 days?
And they, especially with that bowling attack.
Exactly. Even on, you know, on that surface, you know, which was slow, wasn't it? It was hard, really hard work, but even then, you'd expect them to create 10 chances. And in fact, they probably did create 10 chances because there were some drop catches as well. Steve Smith dropped one, and that was that one from Khawaja. So if Australia had taken their chances, they probably would have won the game. But that word "if" it's the smallest word, but I suppose also the biggest word as well.
I thought it was lovely actually at the end. I mean, that test match and that series is being played in a wonderful spirit. Obviously, it's Australia's first tour to Pakistan For how long? I can't
24
remember.
24 years. 24 yes. years. Yeah.
And I just love, Pat Cummins has done a huge amount for Australian cricket, I think, in terms of its image, which, I mean, obviously Tim Paine helped with before that. But Cummins is such an impressive character. And he looks, although he's, you know, a fearsome, menacing fast bowler, he has a smile. Mm. He has a generosity of spirit as well, which I think is great for the game. And you can just see them all at the end shaking the Pakistanis by the hand. They'd made the Australians toil all day, but they sportingly shook hands, patted backs, and I think in a way enjoyed the toil, actually. And, you know, didn't come out with the spoils in the end, but could see the valour of Pakistan, and still one game to go, of course, as well. So
yeah. He seems a very different type of Australian cricketer, Pat Cummins. I think we've known this for a long time, doesn't he? And the fact he's now leading the side in his own image, that sort of snarling Australian side that we've seen in the past, I mean, it seems to have gone. I mean, you don't always know what goes on the field, what's said on the field. But, yeah, it always comes back to my point that, you know, if the game of cricket was played without any conversation at all, I mean, I know you like a bit of chat, you know, a little bit of sarcastic comment and all that sort of stuff every now and again, that's fair enough. But if it's played without that nastiness, does it change the game at all? Does it make you less likely to win the match? I don't think it does, really. And all it does is it just creates a sort of bad atmosphere around the game. And you know, they didn't win Australia, but he's shown that you can do it in a different way. That's what it seems like from a distance, anyway. It felt like in the Ashes. You know, were Australia undermined by the fact they couldn't? You know, every time an England player came out, they called them, you know, X, Y, Z, and every name under the sun. No, they just beat them 4-0. It probably should have been 5, or it would have been 5 if it hadn't rained in Sydney. So you know, there we go. Civilised. Why not play the game in a relatively civilised manner?
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah, absolutely right. And the man who does that, well, the best, of course, is Joe Root, who, you know, he just always smiles, doesn't he? Do you remember, even when he got hit in the groin in, was it Adelaide? Oh, you know, he still managed to smile it off.
Twice. Hit while fielding and then hit while batting as well. I'm not sure he was smiling that much, actually, Oz.
Maybe it was a grimace.
Yeah, I think it was a grimace.
But he does. He smiles when he plays and misses, or when he inside edges, or... I don't know. He's just fantastic. Again, another tremendous ambassador for the game. You want to say something?
Well, I want to say one thing before we leave Australia, Pakistan. One thing that we've moved to England, and we'll talk about England now, and we'll talk about Root and et al. But one thing struck me today is how are England not going to take a wicket in Pakistan when they go there this autumn? Mm. I mean, we talk about, you know, going there and, you know, playing a 3-match series and, you know, trying to win it or win a test match. I'm not even sure they're going to... I mean, how are they going to get them any wickets? I mean, Australia have gone there, really struggled for wickets, and they're a strong bowling side. And Pakistan, in their own condition, strong batting side. Goodness me, it's going to be hard work for them. You can see a few 500 for 4 declareds in that series. I mean, the pitches look flat, don't they? And then, you know, again, another flat pitch in karate. Now, OK, let's move on to England and that Joe Root smile. Do you know, I think that Joe Root smile might just have saved him from being dismissed today, because it looked to me like he nicked one onto his pad and it was taken low down by De Silva behind the stumps. West Indies sort of three-quarter appealed. Root sort of gave it a little cheeky smile and said, go on then. You know, I didn't hit that. But I think he did. And I think he might well have got away with one there. And West Indies had just, well, not long before, used up a review for an LBW against Root that was too high. They thought, oh yeah, we'll chance it. So they used up one, and I think because of that, they didn't use the second straight away. But I think the third umpire would have been compelled to give Root out, because they looked like a little scratch onto the pad, and that was when he was on 23. So that little cheeky smile, I think today, might well have saved him. He was going, nah, that I didn't hear that. Go on then.
It's a good fact, though, today. Joe Root, his 8th 100 since the beginning of this decade, the 2020s. And that is more than Kohli, Williamson and Bubba and Smith put together. So Kohli's made no hundreds in this decade, test hundreds, that is. Smith's made one, Bubba two, and Williamson 3. So Root's got more than all of them put together this decade. Amazing performance. Extraordinary, isn't it? It just doesn't look like he can get out. I know there was a chance down the leg side when he was on 30-odd. But
34, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it was one of those. That would have been a bit of a strangle. And he just looks... it's funny, but I just... Watching players like Bubba Azam just bat and bat and bat, and Root as well, I just... There's a special mentality for players who can do that. I just can't imagine how you concentrate for that length of time and have the desire.
I thought you were going to say for 5 minutes, Yoz.
Well, I'm bad enough for five exactly. minutes. But I just remember sort of trying to bat it even for half an hour, and your concentration wavers. And how do they keep that up and be so disciplined for a whole day and a day and a half, and in Bubba's case, 10 hours. It's just It's beyond me. I don't understand how people do it. Do you?
Sort of, actually, a bit more. Yeah, I think. Yeah, possibly. I mean, this sounds a strange thing to say.
I know there's techniques to do it, and so on. You know, each ball, and then you go away and take a breath and clear your head and all that. But it's still relentless, the concentration required.
Mm. You just love it, I think, as well. That's the other thing. You just love the challenge of batting for that length of time. It's a sort of fantastic vista that opens in front of you, actually, as a batter, isn't it? And you think of Zach Crawley there today. Okay, got 100 in the last game, out for naught. He's got to sit there and watch everyone bat all day. What a great thing it is to a flat pitch. You won the toss, first day, sun shining, loads of support there. I can just bat all day today. I can bat all day tomorrow. So I think it's a wonderful thing. It's sort of your life away, isn't it? That's what you. At that age.
You think you need to be a slight sadist,
because
you're making the bowler's life an absolute misery, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, possibly. Yeah, you really want to. You really want to.
Slightly sadistic pleasure, isn't it?
Well, it might be. It might be. Yeah. Yeah. And I think also you're driven on by it's your day as well. You know, when you get that opportunity, you're just not going to give it away. Actually, then the contrast. You could argue actually that Dan Lawrence played the innings of the day today, and certainly in terms of the sort of. Sort of eye-catching nature. Root sort of just, in a way, well though he played, he just churned one out, didn't he? He did what he does. Whereas Dan Lawrence today, England had started slowly. He came in and he had the right tempo straight away. 62 ball half century, and even in the last over of the day, hit a couple of crisp boundaries, and that actually might have been his downfall. Because Holder bowled one foolish outside the off stump. He went for the drive. It was a really tame dismissal. It actually was not that dissimilar to the shot that Rizwan played when he was looking for his 100 towards the end of the Pakistan-Australia match when he was dropped by Khawaja low down at extra cover. Very similar situations, but Khawaja dropped that one. But Lawrence wasn't dropped. I was really impressed with Lawrence today, actually.
Yeah, from the moment he came in as well, about third ball, he was sort of up the wicket to the spinner and being positive, and it was great to see. Yeah, I agree.
One of the things I've felt about Lawrence when I've watched him, the relatively little I've watched him. I mean, I've watched his Test match innings so far. Very strong through the leg side, very leg side dominant. But I thought today he drove beautifully. Some of his extra cover driving was magnificent, and there was a cameo. Where he drove through the extra cover and then he sort of cuffed one through backward point. Two lovely strokes, and it sort of exemplified the way he played. So, you know, really good offside play today, as well as that strong, sort of slightly idiosyncratic leg side play. I was reading some Alistair Cook actually before the series, and he said the really key thing for Dan Lawrence is surviving the first 20 balls because he feels he's vulnerable early on. But you know, he got in today and he played beautifully. He actually was one of the beneficiaries of the Ashes, wasn't he? He didn't play there. He wasn't sort of under the Australian microscope in a way. He probably would have loved to have played then. He might have done well, but he's sort of like one of the big winners, if you like, of the Ashes tour, because he's suddenly been given his chance. Here you go, everyone. You know, a few vulnerabilities elsewhere. Up to four and have a go, and see what you're made of.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Also, he was the beneficiary of a rather turgid but albeit effective innings by Alex Lees, who didn't look particularly convincing, but stuck it out and survived till mid-afternoon. He only made 30, but he did at least sort of see the shine off, which is part of an opener's job. It wasn't a great watch, we have to be honest, but it did a job for the team and made Lawrence's job a lot easier.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's true. I felt with Lees today. I mean, he struggled in the first test, didn't he? Broach pinned him a couple of times, LBW. And he'd slightly changed his technique, hadn't he? His setup today. It looked to me he was a bit further over towards leg stump.
So his front foot was more open, slightly more open, yeah. Open-toed stance.
And he was a bit further over as well. He looked to be taken a slightly different guard to me. Anyway, I don't know whether you.
Well, I think he was obviously conscious. I mean, you know, you get LBW a couple of times from people bowling around the wicket. You sort of start thinking, well, I'm too far over on off stump. I need to hang back and make sure I get my bat to the ball. And I suppose that was the principle. I mean, I think he's a very static player. He doesn't move at all. And there's obviously it's the culture, it's the trend at the moment to have trigger movements and shuffle across before the bowler bowls.
He doesn't do anything.
No. He stands completely still. And I think he needs to do a little bit of something, not just because it's trendy. I do think that you need just that little bit of fluidity in your body and your feet. You know, the best batsmen are sort of dancing feet, really. Look at the Root, very light on his feet. He looks a bit heavy on his feet. And that, which can happen if you're quite a tall person, quite a big physique, which he is, you can be a little bit kind of on your heels and not on your toes. And I think that might be just something that helps him a bit. He looks a little bit of a sort of static target and doesn't really move with much fluency or flow to the ball. And I think that could just be a thing that he could cure, actually.
I thought he missed out on some...
Yeah,
poor balls. There was a spell before lunch where I thought, "Oh, that's a four ball," and he just sort of stroked it away straight to point, and then he on the drive he closed the face a couple of times, you know, sort of strangled the face so that rather than hitting it smoothly right out the middle of the bat, say through wide mid off, he sort of scuffed it back towards the bowler. He was perhaps so concentrating on, I don't know, seeing off the shine, digging in, giving England the platform, that he actually missed out on some scoring shots. And his dismissal as well was, really tame, wasn't it?
Yeah. He just missed a straight one from a spinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Just trying to work it to leg. And I also thought his play to the shorter bowling from over the wicket wasn't great either. There was a couple of bounces that he got, which he took his eye off and they went over his head. And then he got one which he took his eye off and it hit him on the head and he was okay, but I thought the way he played those wasn't that convincing, and then they went round the wicket and bowled short and he went for the pull and he looked all right, but I thought it was almost as if he had a bit of a blind spot, a batting from over the wicket, the bowling from over the wicket, where when they bowled it short at his body he didn't seem to pick it up all that well. And that again can happen to a tall batsman who's, you know, of course if you're tall and you come through the ranks of junior cricket, you just stride onto the front foot and you hit everything on the up and you're strong and you dominate most bowlers. But it's really only when you get to a high level, probably test cricket in fact, where you get bowlers who are capable of getting the ball up quickly into your rib area, and it's only then when you discover whether you can play it or not.
I suppose one thing you can say is he had a difficult first test. He was at LBW a couple of times to Roach. It was a big day for him. Big crowd in as well. You know, it was the sort of day he would never have experienced in his life so far. That sort of crowd, that sort of pressure, that sort of scrutiny. And he was determined to make something of it. And I think, you know, he wanted Joe Root to say, yeah, I think you should review that. And Root, the non-strikers, then was going, Alex, I don't think you're going to get away with this. You know, I think, you know, it looked straight. It was doing this, and it was, you know, all right, captain. And it's hard to disagree with your skipper, isn't it, in that situation? Perhaps it was a more junior member of the side. Perhaps Lawrence had been the other end, he would have reviewed it, but he wouldn't have got away with it anyway. And so he had to drag himself off LBW to Pall Mall for 30, and I actually texted you at the time. It just seemed a tame dismissal. I said to you, and I can say this now because you can actually attest to the fact that I did say this. I said Permal could bowl at Root all day and he won't get him out.
All year, actually,
well,
I reckon.
Well, he might get him out caught on the long arm boundary for, 210 tomorrow. But do you know what I mean? There was a Root against the spin, especially the left arm spin. He played Embledenia brilliantly in Sri Lanka a year or so ago. There's no way Permal is going to get Root out today. Whereas, you got Lease out with a really quite tame delivery, really.
Didn't do anything. No. I watched it back a couple of times. I mean, it literally did. It just spun a fraction, which you just sort of expect from a left arm spinner, but it didn't spin prodigiously and he just missed it. Mm. It was a sad end, really.
What about the day, the occasion, Yoz? And West Indies bowling, the catching wasn't great. They dropped a couple of catches. Lawrence was spilled on 72 by Joseph at slit. That was a poor effort, really. De Silva down the leg side, Root on 34. Loads of England supporters in there. But the pitch, I mean, it looked like a pretty good toss to win for England. 244 for three. It was a bit of a grind of a day, wasn't it? Mainly because of the morning session, actually. 47 in the first 30 overs.
I think the pitch is all right, I just think the standard isn't that high. If you compare Pakistan, Australia, which was two, heavyweights, really, going at each other, I'm afraid England v West Indies at the moment feels like a good two good county sides. And if you look at the players in these sides, there's sort of two star players on each side, probably. And the rest are people who are not irreplaceable, who are good, steady, domestic, professional cricketers. And give them a fairly flat pitch and the fare is not going to be particularly riveting. I think two crackerjack sides on that pitch, Cummins against Babar or, a really good spinner or something, it would actually be quite interesting. Say an Embledenia against Kohli or whatever, I think it'd be a good battle.
Because what? Because you think there's something there?
There's enough bounce. There's a little bit of bounce. I mean, it's not a quick pitch, but what you want is for the edges to carry. If there's an edge, you want it to be carrying to slip, and it does on that pitch. The edges that they've had have mostly carried.
Well, there was one from Lawrence. I was really surprised. A full-blooded drive where he nicked it to Joseph, and it got him on the half volley at slip. I mean, it may be that Joseph actually was just standing a bit too far back, and I looked at his position. He did look quite a long way back. Anyway, that was one that didn't carry.
Obviously, there's no grass on it, That's a shame. And Curtly Ambrose was one of the people sort of saying, they've got to do more with these pitches. But I thought it was better than Antigua anyway. Mm. It wasn't as dead as that. Mm. But, you want a bit more in the pitch, ideally, for the bowlers, really.
Yeah. Well, England 244 for three. I mean, they got the chance to push on and get 500, do what Australia did, really, and ask the questions of the side batting second, stroke third or fourth, depending on whether they're able to, potentially enforce a follow-on or they don't. But and then make them bat last. So we'll see back end. We'll see how this pitch plays out back end, whether it does deteriorate, whether it does keep a bit low. Actually, it might turn a bit. And there was a short ball, the one you mentioned to Lees, and it actually skidded, didn't it? And he ducked underneath it and it hit him in the helmet because it was just a skimming bouncer. Whether that was just a sort of rogue delivery, I don't know. But that was a short ball that didn't get up. So it may be there's some low bounce in the pitch.
I don't think it's ever... I mean, the Barbados has never been a pitch of amazing to bowl on. I remember that 94 Test match, which England won. Mm. They obviously don't very often win in Barbados. They won in 94 and Alex Stewart got 100 in each innings. And Angus Fraser took 8 wickets in one innings. But, I mean, he had to bowl a lot of overs. Mm. And it didn't do a lot. He just got the wickets through perseverance, really. It's never been a bowler's hunting ground, particularly, even though the two ends are named after Joel Garner and Malcolm Marshall.
Well, there was, 2004, there was grievous bodily harmison, wasn't it, when he ran in and took 7 wickets. Graham Thorpe played a magnificent innings. Matthew Hogger took a hat-trick in the game. I think there was a bit in it for the bowlers in that match. That was a real struggle. Brilliant 100 from Thorpe. Actually, one of the best test innings I think I've ever seen, actually, that Graham Thorpe 100 in Barbados in 2004. Just talking about England's bowling, of course...
Two new players.
Yeah, two debutants. The first time that England have had two pace bowling debutants in the same match since 2009. That was Bresnan and Onions at Lords. And the first time abroad since 1963-64 in India when Price and Jones played in that series.
Price and Jones,
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
John Price. He had a big look. I bet he's in Barbados as well. He's a tour host. He always goes to the Barbados test. He had a big curving run-up.
Yeah.
Long run. And that Jones would have been Jeff Jones. It was Simon Jones's father.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyway, so, what a lovely day, isn't it? You it's your big day of your life, and you make your test debut for England, and all you do is you put your feet up all day in the sunshine and watch, Root and Lawrence bat. But,
and try and figure out how you're going to get wickets on the surface.
Exactly, yeah. Well, a good test for them. But and actually, you were saying, weren't you, it'd be good to have a look at some of these bowlers. And circumstance, actually, has allowed that to happen because Overton was ill and Mark Wood is unfit. So, in a way, I mean, you could argue it sort of worked out quite nicely for England and they're able to look at Saqib and Matthew Fisher, whether they wanted to or not. They obviously didn't. They wanted to play, presumably they're going to play Overton this test match. Well, they were because he was named in the side. But it does give them an opportunity, doesn't it, to have a go and have a look. But yeah, might be tough for them. But it certainly helps if you can have if you got 500 on the board, which I think England will be looking to press on to in their first innings tomorrow, something like that. Anyway, 450, 500, if they possibly can.
Yeah, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to. Okay, well, so runs galore today, apart from in Mount Maunganui. But well done to England for winning that game. And one other little piece of news, I don't know if you noticed today, a female has been announced on the first class umpires panel for the first time. Sue Redfern, who's actually out at the Women's World Cup at the moment and will be umpiring in County Championship cricket this summer, which is great. I hope she likes getting her index finger out.
Keeps the game moving. Who was the umpire that said that keeps the game moving? Everyone used to queue up and bowl at his end. Ray Julian, yeah. So you'd like her to be a Ray Julian, would you?
Definitely.
Well, all bowlers would, actually.
That's out. I'm afraid that's out.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid it was out for Dan Lawrence in the last over of the day. There was one ball left in the day's play when Lawrence was dismissed on 91. He's probably contemplating the thought of being in the 90s overnight, sleeping in his nice Barbados hotel, but he's now going to be kept awake all night by the shot he played, thinking, why did I?
And his dad
why
would be did on I, the phone to him as well,
yeah,
wouldn't he?
Yeah, why? Yeah, he's a big cricket fan. His dad, yeah.
Well, he's probably there.
Yeah,
he'll be having a right. He'll be very. Actually, it's probably worse for the father because you're getting geared up for your son's first ever Test 100, and then it's all such a terrible anticlimax.
Yeah. Well,
and you can do nothing about it.
But I suppose the one positive, more than one positive, is that at least, I mean, Dan Lawrence sitting there in the dressing room tonight on 91, at least not Zach Crawley, who had to sit there and watch after being out for naught, after trying to leave the ball as well, trying to leave it and nicked it through. And he had to sit and watch all day. Lawrence, 91. You feel as though he'll come again, don't you, with Lawrence? There was enough there today to think, well, you'll get another chance. You'll be in the 90s again sometime in Test cricket. OK, Yoz, that's our review of 24 hours of dramatic cricket action from around the world. We'll see what England come up with tomorrow on the second day and what West Indies can come back with. They have got the new ball in hand. We'll be back to review it after the second day's play in Barbados. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye for now. Podcast Network.